Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Monday and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Michelle Pichon, and I'm here today with Dr. Rice and Dr. Hayes as co-hosts. We warmly welcome you to the show and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is March 31st, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1 and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Rice. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. So now, let's welcome Michael in the process of integrating and experiencing forgiveness.
Thank you, young lady, for that introduction. It's a delight to be here. It's nice to be back in the USA with a solid, hopefully a solid phone connection. And Michelle, we appreciate you being able to run the switchboard on a minute's notice. We are in Las Vegas, and the facility that we're at supposedly had internet available, but unfortunately it does not. And so thanks for jumping in and taking care of that. And we are in Las Vegas. We actually had a very long day on Friday, and thank you for handling the radio show, Dr. Tim and Dale, for Aramaic Fridays. We actually started about 5 in the morning to pack up to leave Costa Rica, and a 3-hour flight to Fort Lauderdale and then a couple hour layover and a 5.5 hour flight to Las Vegas put us back in our, got us to our room by about 1:30 in the morning. So we had a long day, took care of ourselves, went and got a massage on Saturday and ready to rock and roll. And yesterday we were at Unity here in Las Vegas and did their Sunday service and started out 13 days of workshops here in Las Vegas with Why Is This Happening to Me Again? So we had a busy day yesterday, a nice size group, and lots of energy moving, lots moving with the work. And we appreciate the fact that each and every one of you that joins the show every day becomes part of the support and part of moving this work around the globe. It's pretty exciting to watch the things that are developing. We are moving forward with a project in Costa Rica. Hopefully, if it all comes to fruition, we'll have Heartland South in Costa Rica and this absolutely awesome piece of property and facility that will allow us to do video work. We're planning on a full-fledged video studio. We thank Jeremiah for his help on putting that together. And so hold the space, everyone. We'll be announcing a fundraiser that will help us to put the funds together to carry out this project and move things to the next level of getting to critical mass. Beyond that, today I'd like to review the principle and the steps in the forgiveness process. And when we're talking about forgiveness, we're looking to reverse the world's thinking about forgiveness. You know, there's an interesting quote that comes out of the mouth of Vladimir Lenin, who's the originator of the whole communist philosophy. And what Lenin says is, if you want to destroy a culture, all you have to do is change the meaning of its words. Well, so what are words? You know, what different? You know, so you change the meaning of a few words. What does that mean? Well, you only have access in terms of a common possibility or process to things that you have a common language about. if you change the meaning of a word, people don't understand that that meaning has been changed, then the true process involved is lost to the culture. And that's what's happened with the first century Aramaic forgiveness process, which we're working to reestablish and make available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. There's nothing to believe about what we're doing. In fact, a powerful, healthy skepticism is desirable for every mind engaging in this process. Don't believe a word I've got to say. I invite you to take the tool, put the pen to the paper, and put it to work. What you will find there is first century Aramaic forgiveness. Now, we live in a culture that because the meaning of the word forgive was changed and the Greek idea of pardoning was substituted, forgiveness has been disappeared. So now we live in a culture that by and large goes like this. You did something terrible that caused all this pain inside of me, but it's okay. I'll let you off the hook. I'll forgive you. Now, when I recognize that if there's pain inside of me, my pain is mine, then letting someone else off the hook for the pain that's inside of me, and, you know, you've all heard me deliver the tongue-in-cheek line that I so like to use that says, notice if you've been through a particular painful reality 87 different times with 42 different people, that you're the only one that was there every time. Your pain is about you. It is not about anybody else. Your frustration is about you. It's not about your spouse. It's not about your children. It's not about anything else. Your rage is about you. It's not about the person you projected on. It's not about the person you scream at. Your rage is about you. Your grief, your guilt, your fear, your terror, your hatred, your vengeance. You say, I hate this person. Well, here's a piece of news. The hatred that one holds does more damage to the vessel in which it's held, that is your own physiology, than anybody upon whom you pour it. It's about you. It's not about anybody else. If you recognize that there are untoward energies in your life experience that you'd like to be through with, then you're going to have to figure out or find out how to remove those energies. Screaming, yelling, raging, bullying, letting other people off the hook isn't going to change that inside of you. But there is a process which was taught 2,000 years ago. And this is what we're working to reestablish the understanding of and make available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. Because without this understanding, without this tool, people walk around with these internalized energies that they blame on everybody else. And there is no resolution without forgiveness. Now, most people hear that and they say, oh, so if I don't let them off the hook, then I don't get to heal. Please, never, ever forgive anyone for anything. And I've heard many people say, oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. I have to forgive myself. No, please never forgive yourself for anything. If you choose to let yourself or someone off the hook because they or you have done something inappropriate, that's a very nice thing. Do it. But call it what it is, because if you misname it, then you will delete the actual possibility of forgiveness happening. So if I choose to let someone who's, you know, really off the wall, off the hook for what they've done, then I have pardoned them. And that's an appropriate thing, too. If I've done a behavior that I'm ashamed of and embarrassed about, and I choose to pardon myself, then I let myself off the hook for that. That's a nice thing to do. But it is only pardoning when you do that. That's all it is. It is not forgiveness. Our culture has taught us that that's forgiveness. And it always amazes me how many people I hear from who tell me about how, oh, yeah, well, I already understood that. Yeah, I got that one, Michael. But, you know, I already forgave my mother and my father. excuse me, did you notice that you called letting somebody else off the hook for giving? Well, yeah, but that's not what I meant. I really did understand it. It's like baloney. This understanding was disappeared almost 2,000 years ago, and it's just being reestablished now in the world. I get hundreds of people who come to me after a workshop, go, oh, that was a nice refresher, man. I was good to hear, but I already understood it. It's like, oh, okay, tell me how you forgive. I remember working with one fellow who was into some kind of an Eastern meditative, whatever process that they were in. And, oh, yeah, the core of what we do is forgiveness. He said, well, tell me how you forgive. And he kind of looked at me a little bit cross-eyed and said, well, what do you mean? So, well, if the core of your process is forgiveness, tell me how it is that you forgive. Well, we just forgive. You know that's just that's like, and this went on for about 10 minutes. He couldn't say a word about how to forgive because we haven't been taught that. If you're not familiar with the first century Aramaic Yeshua and what he taught about forgiveness, then in my experience, now I'm willing to be corrected. If there's somebody out there who can show me in writing where the process exists somewhere else on the planet, then I'm going to go study it because there are probably refinements that I still don't understand that I'll get from it. But I haven't found it anywhere in 45 years, except in two places. One is in the first century Aramaic teachings of the man named Yeshua, and the second place is in A Course in Miracles, identical description of how to forgive. So what I'd like to do is review that today, just to kind of, you know, put it in a synoptic form. Step by step, here's how, and I'm not talking about we're going to do the worksheet at this point. I want to just key into the principles of forgiveness. First of all, forgiveness is useful whenever there's denial. And a working definition of denial is, I have some sort of turmoil or pain inside of me. Think about or talk about someone else as cause, or something else as cause. So that conversation looks like you made me mad. You know, when you did that, you really hurt me. Well, what you said really upset me. If you just wouldn't talk like that, then I wouldn't have to go into this rage. You know, that situation was really disturbing for me. All of those phrases are phrases of denial. When I think of or talk about something outside of me as though it is the cause of something inside of me, I'm in denial. Nothing, and no one can cause anything to happen inside of you that isn't there. It's not possible. So if you go into a fit of rage when someone does behavior A, that behavior didn't cause your rage. You held the rage, and that behavior triggered it. If you talk about it as the cause of your rage, then you have to dissociate from the cause of your rage. When you dissociate from the cause of your rage, then your rage is stored in a hidden place within your own mind, which is the cellular structure of your body, and your body is now diseased. You are dissociated from that content, and whenever you dissociate from content, you wear it on your sleeve. That is, everybody in town knows it's there except you. The denial inhibits your mind from showing you the evidence that you most need to look at. And so forgiveness is useful. There are other places where it's useful as well, but it is particularly useful when there is denial that results in dissociated content. The problem with dissociated content is that we create out of that which we dissociate from first and foremost. Because by the very simple act of pressing it down and dissociated from it, we have added energy to it. What you add energy to sets up literal, measurable, high-frequency waves that leave your physiology and call to all the world around you to come and do it to you. That's what I mean by wearing it on your sleeve. And, of course, they're going to show up. So how do you carry out this process of forgiveness? What are the steps? Well, the first thing you want to do when you find yourself talking about someone else is notice that as you talk about someone else's cause, in order to hide a part of yourself from yourself, you have to cut off your breath. So the first step is, if you notice yourself talking about how they made you mad, or thinking it, you don't have to say you made me mad, but if you start treating someone in your mind as though they're the problem in your life, then you're in denial and dissociation. So the first step is to breathe. And then recognize that your mind, and this is an automatic sort of thing, recognize that your mind has an object of attention outside of itself. Or you can be your own object of attention. It's interesting. In the Aramaic language, you are your own neighbor. Your true self is neighbor to the false self. The false self is neighbor to the true self. And so the next step, once you begin to breathe, is to recognize there's an object of attention involved in your disturbance and your upset. The next step, once you've acknowledged that, is to identify that there is an unmet goal in your mind that's being held for that object of attention. And how can you tell if that's true? If there is any form of pain or turmoil when you're contemplating that object of attention and or your unmet goal, then you know that that's what's going on. So let's say, you know, the person who has a challenge with their spouse, and, you know, they just have to look at their spouse and they're in rage or frustration. Say, yeah, when they do that, their behavior, you know, they're just so, you know, I just can't stand them anymore. So in order to say that, you've got a goal in your mind causing your mind to build a picture of your spouse out of your own dissociated content. You really have a problem, and that problem is going to lead to the destruction of that relationship if you don't do something about it. So the next step is just to notice that you have a goal. The goal may be totally and completely unconscious. As you start to do this step, you become more aware of the goals that drive your internal content. And whenever you load a goal that causes internal content based in any form of hostility or fear to be activated, then your guidance system is going to be compromised. Your perception is going to be defiled by the content that you've dissociated from, resonated or activated by the goal that you're holding. So when you recognize that you have an unmet goal, that's the next step in the process of forgiveness. And identifying specifically and exactly what that goal is, you know, well, I just want them to be obedient. I want them to cooperate. I want them to do what I want them to do when I want them to do it can be the goal. Now, you'll notice that if that's a dynamic that happens in your relationships, you can go back and find that you had a power person who could have said exactly the same words about you. I want you to do what I want you to do when I want you to do it, and if you won't, I'll beat you into submission. Whether I do it with a look or a breath or a fist, doesn't matter. With words, with rewards, or with the removal of favors and punishment, with threats, you have a power person that did exactly the same thing. This is the core of the issue that needs to be healed. You know, we do a workshop called Healing Through Relationships. When I first started to do that workshop, it was called Healing Your Relationships. And then I realized that there are no diseased relationships. Every relationship is a perfect creation. And every relationship will perfectly reflect you exactly what it is that you need to deal with. And so when you can see that dynamic, then it is in the context of relationship that you will be shown what it is that you need to forgive. How can you tell if there's something you need to forgive? Are you in some form of pain or turmoil? Well, yeah, but it's their fault that I am. Okay, but we've got a test for determining whether or not something you're feeling is yours or not. And the test for determining that is, are you feeling it? If you're feeling it, though your mind has got all kinds of thoughts and words about them and how they did it to you, stop. You're just repeating your power person pattern. Notice your power person looked at you and went, and look how you did it, and you did it to me, and it's all your fault. And you're just carrying on the tradition of finding somebody else to blame. Time to stop. Recognize the unmet goal. Once you recognize and identify specifically what that goal is, then you want to make sure that as you enter into the core of the forgiveness process, that you establish and maintain the active presence of love in your mind. Now, if you've got all kinds of pain and disturbance that you've never looked at and you've always blamed somebody else for it, this is not an easy step. This is a step that takes time to learn to do, to hold the condition of love in your mind, regardless of what's going on inside of you or outside of you. And this is the act of maintaining your human life. You know, we have a simple definition in this work of a human life, and that is hold a newborn child. If you recognize that that awesome presence of love is life itself, then you come to the point where you refuse to give it up and you choose to maintain it 24/7, 365, whatever's going on inside or outside of you. And it's a key in the forgiveness process because it is the active presence of love that dissolves the hidden parts of the mind that contain the hostility, the fear, the frustration, the rage, the guilt, the grief, the self-condemnation, whatever it happens to be. And so it's necessary to maintain that condition of love or at least be in the practice of moving toward it. Once you've established that condition within your mind, and one of the best ways I know to do that is to imagine holding a newborn and tap into the essence of that newborn, strengthen that essence. Some people go out into the, you know, nature, and they feel that connection in nature. Jeannie does one-on-one work over the phone with people, and there was a woman she worked with a couple of years ago that had to literally physically go and pick up her cat and pet her cat. It was the only thing that inspired her to love. So whatever it takes to establish that condition in your mind, that's the process. And again, if you come from a world based in lots of hostility and fear, it's going to be quite a practice to get to where you can establish that and maintain that. But that's one of the steps in the process of forgiveness. Then, and this is for most people the strangest idea in the whole process. In the Aramaic language, the word that's been translated as forgive is the word shebag, and it means to cancel. So if forgiveness means to cancel, what do I cancel? Do I cancel you? Would that be forgiving you? Well, no, that's murder. Would I cancel myself? No, that's suicide. I can always cancel the unmet goal that causes my mind to use my dissociated content to build its brain's image of you. And so the unmet goal that we identified in the earlier step, now you want to cancel it, which seems absolutely ludicrous because, after all, Michael, I deserve to have that. And, you know, if you establish a goal, gee, I want someone to be cooperative and loving toward me, and I deserve that, I absolutely agree with you. You deserve to have everyone in your life cooperate and create a space of support for you. And if you have disturbance or upset when they're not, then your goal is for them to support you. And the reason you would cancel that goal is not because you don't want it, not because you can't have it, not because you don't deserve it, not because there's anything wrong with that goal, because it's an absolutely wonderful, perfect goal that it's appropriate for everyone to hold. The reason you cancel it is because every time you load that goal into your mind, and this is a repeat of the power person cycle, every time you load that goal into your mind, it accesses or recruits the hidden dissociated content based in turmoil or pain. So the canceling of the goal is the key way into the dissociated part of the mind. It's the way to go back and undo the denial and get direct access to what has been hidden. And so by canceling the goal, two things happen. The projection of that dissociated content into your brain's image of others collapses. You now have more room in your mind for awareness to come. At the same time as that collapses, a pathway is opened directly into the dissociated content. For most people, when they deny and go into dissociation, they never get to see that dissociated content directly again. They only get to see that content when it is used to build their brain's image of someone else. And that content shows up, and the way you can tell that it's that person's content showing up is they're the one who's feeling the effects of it. They can prattle on and blame and talk about how it's all everybody else's fault, but notice that they're the one who's in pain and turmoil. So when I cancel the goal, I collapse the projection that it's about someone else, and I open a pathway into the hidden part of my mind. Now I can come back into, from the state of love, direct contact with the hidden part of my own mind. For the first time, when people begin to forgive, they start to see their own dissociated content and come back into direct rather than indirect relationship with that content. When you come back into direct relationship with that content, you have the opportunity then to heal that content. And so the next step in the forgiveness process is to cancel the unmet goal and breathe. This allows the space for the dissociated content to surface. Now, for most people, when they're facing some form of turmoil, pain, fear, rage, guilt, grief, or upset, this is not the first time in their bloodline that this has happened. There tends to be inherited patterns involved in those things that take us over seemingly against our own will and choice. And when you recognize that there are generally inherited patterns involved and you can admit those patterns, most people are in denial about those patterns. Oh, no, I don't want to condemn my father and my mother. I don't want to see them as bad or wrong or ever having been anything other than perfect. Oh, my God, then I'd really be in trouble. You've got to be honest. You've got to love truth more than what you've been brainwashed to do. And so to be able to honestly acknowledge where those flaws were and allow that part of the mind to come forward for healing. These issues tend to be generational. You know, how many times have we known someone who maybe was separated from a parent when they were a small infant? So there's no way that the modeling of the parent, you know, perhaps within days of conception, one parent disappears. And someone looks at this young man or this young woman 20 years later and says, boy, I remember his father so well, and he's just like him. He turns his head the same way. He cocks his jaw the same way, and he uses the same kind of language his father did. How's it possible? He never even knew his father. His father died, you know, a week after he was conceived. These patterns are generational. They are stored within the genetic structure. And of course, if one had a father with those kinds of patterns or a mother, you can pretty much rest assured that that father or mother had a parent who had similar patterns. And these things have gone on for generations, which means there's a huge quantity of energy and information to be processed. The reason why the earlier step was to reestablish the presence of love is because in order to process something that is less than love, love has to be conscious, active, and present. It is the active presence of love that dissolves the untoward content, that which you're ready to get rid of. There's some interesting Harvard research that says that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells fire, the max amount of information that goes into awareness is 9 bits, a measly 9 bits of data out of 10,000 brain cells firing. It's like the smallest speck of what's really going on. And once you recognize that, then you realize that there's a huge quantity of data under the surface that needs to be moved. If we have, and you know, for the sake of our example, we're going to call this mind that sees 9 bits of information out of 10,000 brain cells firing, we're going to call that a 9-bit mind. If I have in computer language a 9-bit processor and trillions of bits of data to process, how long is it going to take to process all that data? Not going to happen. You know, you look at some of the supercomputers that they've got, and you know, there are programs where you can sign up your computer to allow its processing power to be used for huge scientific experiments that take just large amounts of processing power. So when your computer's not being used and you leave it online, let's say, for instance, an institution like a large university might have access to your computer's processing power to use it to do calculations that otherwise might take years with the computing power they have. But when they have tens of thousands of people who sign in and support that, then they have the computing power of all of those computers. Well, this is kind of the same sort of thing. If you've got to process all this generational garbage on your own, the chances of ever getting through it are slim to none. What Yeshua taught 2,000 years ago is that inside of every one of us, available to us, if we invite it into activity, is a super processor, so to speak, a power that is beyond our own comprehension and capability. In Aramaic, it was called Ruach HaKodesh. And Ruach HaKodesh are the words that have been translated by the Greeks as some sort of a disembodied spirit being called the Holy Spirit. But in Aramaic, there's no context of a disembodied spirit being, and it is not male. There is a feminine elemental force in us, actual operative energy within us, that when we invite it into activity, will undo the effects of our errors and teach us the truth. Most people sit around most of their lives trying to figure out their problems. Years and years and years and years trying to figure out their problems. When if they would engage in forgiveness and invite that elemental force into action, their problems would be dissolved and they'd be taught the truth directly from the source. Now, those who stand in weakness don't want you to disconnect from them as your authority, because they have all kinds of benefits that accrue by you seeing them as your authority. We invite you to disconnect from external authority. The power is in you. It was given to you at conception. Your world has taught you to ignore it because your world wants to control you. And I don't care what institution you're looking at, whether it's the educational institutions, the religious institutions, the legal institutions, they all want you to see them as your authority. Or people want to hook you up to a false authority. You go back to Yeshua and he says, deny me, no problem. Now you look at how many authorities force you into denying what he himself told you to do. He says, but don't deny the one that is in you. I come to connect you to that spirit of truth. And so listen to that. There is a power in you that is there for you to coordinate with and get support from. We're not here to connect you to any other authority but that one. You invite that power to go to work in you. You've canceled your goal. That sets a stage. And now you invite that power to go to work, and she will. And you will see dramatic effects happen in your life if, in sincerity, you begin to do that. It may take some time, but as you begin to do it, you will see just monumental progress occurring. So you recognize that help is needed, and you ask Rukha Dukuja, and we usually just short form that to Rukha, to support you, and you breathe. And as you breathe, once you have the goal, you've set the space of love, you've canceled the goal, then recognize that help is needed. You'll start to notice, if you invite that help in and then just breathe and be still, that new content starts to come to mind. You'll be in the process of being taught from the true source of real knowledge. And as you step into that and listen and breathe, you then, in completing the process, look for, from that connected space of love, from the truth of your being, look for a new loving goal that you can hold toward the object of attention that was not meeting the goal that you held initially. So you start out early in the process by establishing or locating the goal in your mind, and then you cancel the goal in your mind that you hold for them. And now in this final step in the process, you establish a new goal based in love toward them. And as you do that, you will find shifts and changes happening in your energy field. You will see diseases disappear, physical, mental, emotional, relationship, financial. You'll see things that just evaporate and disappear from your life in an instant. And as you commit yourself to that new goal based in love, watch the gifts that you're able to give to yourself and all of life around you, and watch the empowerment that comes as a result. It's absolutely awesome. And so that's the review I wanted to do on the forgiveness process, just to kind of go through the whole thing and bring a reminder to mind. We just did the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop yesterday, and last night it occurred that as I was tapping into what I was going to do on the show today, the guidance was just review the whole forgiveness process and what's involved in it. And so, of course, we're open to your questions and your thoughts about that process. If anything isn't clear or there's some details that need to be filled in, we'd love to hear your voice. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. And I know we've got Dr. Tim, or I think we've got Dr. Tim with us, so I'd love to hear if Dr. Tim has any pieces to fill in that synopsis from his experience or anything to share with us. Dr. Tim, how do you be today, sir?
Well, I'm doing beautifully, and I listened and soaked it up and thought it was a wonderful deepening and a refresher all at the same time. So when I hear you talk about it, what really gets to me over these 10 years or so that I've been exposed to this work is I'm listening to you, learning to understand it better.
Absolutely. We teach best that which we most need to learn, right?
Well, but you are understanding the process so much more deeply than you did 5 and 10 years ago. And it's just a pleasure to be learning through that process with you and get it at deeper and deeper levels. And that would be all I would add. I don't think I would would touch any other part of it. I'm just soaking it up.
You know, I started teaching this whole process, having uncovered it from the Aramaic and the teachings of Yeshua. And it's kind of interesting, you know, historically, when I go back, and as it touched into this canceling of the goal and such, I was actually in Fort Lauderdale, and I had a Wednesday night class, actually, at the Unity Center there. We used to have anywhere from, 80 to 150 people every week. And I would talk about this canceling of the goal, and it was just, you know, it was something that came through the translations of the Aramaic, and the talk about that was it, and that was how forgiveness worked. And it was just like kind of, that's just what it is. And then I get people who were in that audience who come to me the next week and say, wow, I started canceling those goals you were talking about, and man, you should see what happened. And I started to pay attention. I wasn't doing it at that time. I was just passing on what I'd come to understand from the Aramaic. And then I'd have people who would actually take that and put it to work and say, man, that's changed everything in my life. And I sat up and took notice. And so I systematized it a little more and started to teach it more strongly. And I get more people come back. And I then, of course, started to do it myself. And it's like, wow, this is so cool. I don't have a clue what's going on here. I don't have a clue why it works. But, man, it works. And then, of course, it took me 25 years to understand why and how it works, what Yeshua is actually teaching us. And to me, one of the exciting things, if we can, you know, get to the point where we've got the funding to take the manuscript translation work, to put together a team and take it to the next level, is what else is there that we don't understand yet? And as we get that started, you know, having built the brain cells, I think I'll be better fit to be able to understand it when we get more of the translation work done. So I'm pretty excited about that project coming together, and actually we're going to create part of the whole process of what we're doing in Costa Rica. And so far we're looking at creating a crowdfunding project to fund the whole thing, the Costa Rica, the Heartland, the manuscript project, the whole thing, and take the whole thing to the next level. And we're moving in the direction, at least at this point, and I'm certainly open to feedback, but we're moving in the direction of creating Heartland University of First Century Aramaic Forgiveness and Healing, and making that kind of the lead point in the whole project. And then everything that falls under that umbrella will be the manuscript project, taking the translation work to the next level, the publishing from it, the just, you know, everything. The project in Costa Rica, which will include television production and, you know, just moving everything to the next level. So, but it took me a good 25 years to really begin to understand it. And you were around in the days where, you know, 10 years ago, I was basically saying you cancel your goal, and I knew, like, you know, maybe 10% of how it worked. And it's really over the last 8 or 10 years that it's developed. Oh, okay, now I get it. That's what that meant. That's how that works. Ah, there it is. That's how that works. And so I realized that Ruka was teaching me in that time period. And I hear all this while I thought I was figuring it out, but I've become very clear I wasn't figuring it out. I was being taught. And so, you know, I invite everybody to open your direct connection. Yeshua was so on track when he said, deny me, I don't care. I don't come in my own name. He's, you know, he talked to them. He said, you want somebody to come in their own name? Forget it. I'm not interested. Don't put me on that pedestal. Now, there are people who put him on a pedestal because they need somebody outside of themselves to be their source and their pedestal. It's all a fraud if you actually believe what the man said. But what he did say is, be careful about the denial of the one that is in you that I'm attempting to connect you with. That's the real teacher that you need to connect with. And I realize that that's where the understanding has come from, is just being in that space of willingness to be taught. And we invite everyone, as you invite Ruka Dikudja to go to work, invite her to teach you directly and be willing to give up everything you've ever been taught to get it direct from the source. because most people are out there forcing fear-based doctrines and dogmas and stories onto people, are totally stuck in their own story. They have no relationship with Rukka whatsoever. They're just playing their own ego-based game and trying to force others into it. Open the space, and we'll each be taught individually. And it's awesome. So anything else to add today, Dr. Tim? Anything to share before we go to the phone lines?
No, I'm complete. Let's hear if there's anybody on the phone with their hand up.
Cool. Well, Michelle, is there anything happening in the chat room or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up?
Not right now. The chat room's quiet. I offered people questions or comments and no takers. So feel free. We've got about 12 minutes left to talk to someone on the phone.
We've got time for a call or two. So if you have a question, you know, based on what we just unfolded, the process of understanding first century Aramaic forgiveness is not an easy one because we've been brainwashed in a whole different direction. And, of course, the reason for this show is to teach and learn what it is that we most need to learn. And this process of forgiveness tops the list for me. And so if you'd been at a workshop, I know when we finished the workshop yesterday, finished doing WISE, this happened to me again, several people, you know, came up with their questions. And if you were sitting in that audience yesterday and I just covered what I just covered, which is what I did yesterday with why is this happening to me again, what would be your question for us? No waiting. Push one on your phone to be the first person in line. Ask your question. How can we support you in the process of learning and forgiving? 646-200-4169. That's our number. Anyone with a thought or a question? And if not, then let's move to the next space of this process of forgiveness and recognizing that the smallest irritation, it's kind of a trick thing that I do at the opening of the Why workshop when we present the worksheet, and I say, you know, just pick a small issue. You know, probably 60% of people go for their big major issue. And it's interesting. After every workshop, somebody comes up to me, it happened yesterday, I ask people, you know, just take a small issue. And, you know, it's the major life issue. First worksheet, I'm going to do the major life issue. The truth is that the small issues, the things on the surface, like the little tiny irritations, I love what the Course says about them. The tiny irritations that we have cover the deepest rage. And so ultimately, even those small issues lead to deeper things. You'll notice that in several religious traditions, there is a use of beads. There's a reason for the use of beads. The beads are a symbolic way of traveling down into the dissociated mind. So someone who holds a set of beads and says a special set of words, by the way, the words that people use on their beads are not prayers. That's another misnomer. That's another thing that we've had the word meaning change. We've been taught that, you know, prayer is tapping into the cosmic gift catalog and telling God what God should be doing or praising or whatever the non-being mind is made up about prayer. None of the words you speak are prayers. In the original Aramaic sense, the meaning of that word has been changed, just like the meaning of the word forgiveness has been changed. So the word prayer in Aramaic means to set a trap for God, which sounds a little strange when you first think about it. But if you think about the fact that we are energetic beings and we live in this energy system where we are all connected, then when I become receptive to or energetically align myself to receive that human life I was given, the active presence of love, then I am engaged in prayer. I become the trap, captures the active presence of love in my physiology and radiates it out into the world. If you think about a television antenna, you know, I want to watch channel 4. I have to have an antenna for channel 4, you know, if I'm not working with a cable station. I put an antenna on the roof, and if the antenna is the right shape of an antenna and it's aligned properly, then I get a clear, crisp picture of channel 4. So the antenna is a trap for channel 4, brings the signal in and feeds it through my television set. I have this beautiful, crisp, clear picture and crisp, clear sound. In exactly the same way, when I align to be receptive to the presence of active love in my physiology, I'm engaged in prayer. Certain words can support me moving in that direction, but the words are not the prayer. Again, we've been tricked. Babble words, and then you'll be praying. No, align with love, and then you're praying. If you say certain words, then that's petition or supplication. Different thing. So when I choose to align with that active presence of love, and that's the step where in the forgiveness process we're suggesting that you tap into that presence of love, whether it's through the holding of a newborn or petting your cat or stepping out into nature, imagining stepping into nature, whatever aligns you with the active presence of love, that's prayer. And so you bring that active presence of love forward, and as you do, because you have been given the power of choice and will, you can initiate an energy that is out of alignment with love. You can make up things. You look at most of the world. You know, the ancient scripture says there'll come a time when the whole world will be fooled. And boy, are we there. And so people have interacted with others and made up all kinds of stories about rage and guilt and grief and blame, and you did it and it's your fault and I'm going to kill you, and if I can just beat you up or kill you or get you into submission, then everything will be all right in my life. And we've got a whole false world based on all of that insanity. The beautiful thing is that if that dynamic that is hidden in the dissociated mind is brought forward directly to the active presence of love, which is, in fact, the Creator's mind, the system is so designed that anything out of alignment with that love instantly and automatically begins to dissolve and fall apart. So we can interact with each other. It's kind of like this lateral interaction. I can interact with you, and I can do rage, and you can do fear, and they can do guilt, and somebody else can do shame, and we got this whole thing going. We go, yeah, look at this, man. This is really real, isn't it? Lateral. But then when you go to the vertical and you invite the active presence of love, when you step into prayer, when you become receptive to the active presence of love, the activity of that mind dissolves everything that isn't true in you. Everything that you and your bloodline, me and my bloodline, have made up that never belonged in a human system simply begins to dissolve in the presence of that active mind of love. It's an awesome thing to understand. I love how the Course in Miracles says it. The Course in Miracles says you must bring that which you do not want to that which you do. So when I bring my hostility and fear-based separated thoughts into the space, then that which is not love automatically begins to dissolve. And that's one of the reasons why we're witches, we're taking this to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. Because as we do, we open a space where more and more people can incarnate as true human beings, as the active presence of love. More and more people understand the ability to hold the space of love, to be the space of love for themselves and for each other. And there's going to come a point where critical mass will be reached. and the whole game will shift and move. And that's why we're doing basically everything we do, is to create that critical mass shift. And we invite you to participate. You know, not listen. This isn't just an intellectual journey. In fact, the reason for the forgiveness process, the reason for the tools, is to be out of your mind, to be able to collapse the output of your body's mind and then live, you know, Paul described it as the mind that was in Christ. That mind is in you. And that's not a religious idea. The mind of the active presence of love is in you as you and how you started out. Be receptive to and restored to that mind, and all of your insanity will begin to dissolve. When individually and collectively we dissolve our insanity, everything starts to shift and change. It's an awesome opportunity. And we're down to a couple of minutes. We've got time for one caller if anybody has a thought for us. We'd be delighted to hear your voice, 646-200-4169. Any hands up in the phone queue, Michelle?
No, not right now. Actually, Michael, would you be able to tell us about the schedule the rest of the week in Vegas?
Sure, I can tell you about the schedule the rest of the week in Vegas. We are at Unity. Actually, there are two different Unities here that we're going to be at. And we're going to be doing a full series of workshops at the Unity Center that we were at yesterday. And it'll be from 7 to 9:30 each evening this week. So tonight we're going to do the workshop, Empowered to Heal. And then Tuesday night we're doing Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment. And Wednesday night we're doing a lesson from the Course in Miracles called What is the World? Thursday is the Circle of Life and How to Play It. Friday is Getting the Stress You Need. Then we're going to get a day off on Saturday, and then we're going to start at Unity in Henderson, Nevada, which is kind of on the other side of Las Vegas. So a week of workshops there, and finishing off with Mind Shifters and Soul Point Breathing a week from Saturday. So that's our schedule. We're sticking to it. We invite everybody who comes. You know, the workshops through the week are all open, free workshops. Bring a friend. We'd be delighted to have you join us. We're glad to have you on the team. If you're ready to take your work to the next level,
thank you.
And we appreciate you joining us. Give the world the best gift you can possibly give. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.